Because you can handle the truth.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.
Hey, we're back, folks.
Take our own whiskey and our own smoke.
And the, yeah, I was just reading up on Pete Seeger. You were hearing him there when I was a junior in high school there, like I said, when I was 15 years old. And Pete Seeger was, in fact, a member of the Communist Party USA, and did support the presidential campaign of Henry A. Wallace, who was a communist, who was actually, oddly enough, was vice president during one of Franklin Roosevelt's terms. That's an amazing fact there. We had a communist as our vice president. But then Seeger is one of those communists who became disillusioned with Joe Stalin. And so at the time of the 1956 Hungarian uprising, Pete Seeger resigned his membership in the American Communist Party, but remained friends with his former communist and still communist buddies, but argued with him about that question. So he's one of the people who popularized the song We Shall Overcome. Pete Seeger was one of the earliest backers of Bob Dylan and was responsible for urging A&R man John Hammond to produce Dylan's first LP on Columbia, and invited him to perform at the Newport Folk Festival. And I remember that. I remember all of that very well, of which Seeger was a board member, Newport being Newport, Rhode Island, folks. Anyway, so let's go back here just for another second here, just to refresh our memory of this. Here's Pete Seeger, just a little bit more of Pete Seeger, who died apparently in his 90s in 2014.
Except it's a good song. Now, it does need some harmony. You make up your own harmony as we go along. Someone sleeping, love, kumbaya. Someone sleeping, love, kumbaya.
That was pretty lame effort there by Seeger. But his father was a musicologist who started the ethnomusicology department at Cal Berkeley. And but you get the flavor there of what Pete Seeger was about. You know, good-looking guy, soft-spoken, you know, smiling. I love everybody. We're going to all hold hands. And so kumbaya has become a way of referring to that kind of thinking, which is exclusively for white people. Chinese people don't subscribe to kumbaya, Pete Seeger style. Africans don't. Mexicans don't. Paleo-Indians, they don't subscribe to kumbaya. This is only for naive, gullible, guilt-ridden white people, that we have to hold hands with everybody in the world. We have to recognize their rights. We have to make up for all the deficiencies in their world. Everything that's wrong with their world is, white man, it's your fault. And that's what guys like Pete Seeger, that's the Kool-Aid that they've been selling us for more than half a century. So at the time when our people were, you know, right there in the 1960s, when we were going to the moon, that greatest feat, really, of man, you know, ever. At the very same moment we were doing that, we were going to folk festivals, folk concerts led by Pete Seeger, where we were singing this Kumbaya stuff, and We Shall Overcome. So kind of going in two directions, two opposite directions at the same time. Let's go back to the president here. And, of course, he was participating. You can be sure that Donald Trump remembers Pete Seeger, was born in New York City. Where's his article? And died in New York City. Where's his article? Let me find it. He was born in 1919 in Manhattan. That's where I was born, in 1948. He died in Manhattan in 2014 at the age of 94. Played the banjo and the guitar. And he was associated with various, some of the acts he was associated with included Arlo Guthrie, Woody Guthrie's son, Woody Guthrie himself, the Weavers, Bruce Springsteen, of all people, Bob Dylan, and Lead Belly, Holly Near. For some of you that a lot, that's, some of those names are not familiar to some of you that are older will remember those. Let's go to somebody who does remember those, Donald Trump, and see what he's up to here. Let me hit refresh. Has he got a new tweet for us? Standing by. Let us see. Yes, he does. 33 minutes ago. He doesn't let us down. He's got two new tweets, and they are, I'll read them as written. Congratulations to Bibi Netanyahu on becoming the longest-serving prime minister in the history of Israel. Under your leadership, Israel has become a technology powerhouse and a world-class economy. Most importantly, you have led Israel with a commitment to the values of democracy, freedom, and equal opportunity that both our nations cherish and share. So that went out to Benjamin Netanyahu from Donald Trump. Now, so I'm sure some of you are out there biting your lip because you're not big fans of Israel. Well, you know, hey, I understand. However, what Donald Trump has done vis-a-vis the ethno-state of Israel, think about that for a moment, has been very, very smart, brilliant, genius. He is, and as a result, he has become one of the most popular men in Israel. Israelis love him. I mentioned that Israel is an ethno-state. It is. There are a lot of things about Israel that you might pause for a moment and think about it and go, you know what? They got that right. How does Israel protect itself from a invasion? They understand that demography. They really understand that demography is destiny, probably better than any other people in the world, maybe except the Chinese. Demography is destiny, and the Hungarians. So how does Israel protect itself? When they found that people were flooding into their country as occupiers, as invaders, what did they do? They built a wall, a tall wall, a well-defended wall, a formidable wall. They built a wall. Hey, pretty smart. Did it work? Is it working right now? Yes, it did. And yes, it is. Damn smart. And it's exactly what we should do. The other thing the Israelis have done is said their policy has always been Israel first. It's always been their policy since they were founded, actually the year of my birth, 1948. Israel first. And has that worked? Have they survived well? Tiny nation in a very hostile place? Yes, it worked. Should we do that too? Yes, we should. America first. Absolutely. And then the Israelis, do they think of Israel as a place where anybody can come as long as you subscribe to? So the president, for instance, tips his hat to democracy, freedom, and opportunity. But is that what Israel's about? Democracy, freedom, and opportunity? No, no, that's not what it's about. So you can't get into Israel and you can't take up residence in Israel if you say, I raise my right hand here and I pledge to you, Bibi Netanyahu, I pledge to you, I am loyal and faithful to democracy, freedom, and opportunity, and equal opportunity. Bibi Netanyahu is going to say, well, good for you. We don't need you here. Because citizenship in Israel is based on ethnicity. It's based on demographics. It's, they ask one question, are you Jewish? Are you Jewish? Well, come on in. You're not Jewish? Hey, keep going. Keep moving. That's their policy, folks. And it's expressed in a thousand different laws and customs and ways. You want to get married in Israel? You and your Methodist girlfriend want to get married in Israel? Forget it. It's not going to happen. But Israel has, for instance, the law of return, which says to any Jew anywhere in the world, you're welcome here. We're holding a place for you. What do they say at Motel 6 or is it Motel 8? We'll leave the light on. They've left the light on in Israel. If you're Jewish, you're welcome. You have the right to return to Israel, but even if you've never been there. The right of return is referring to the idea that Jews were expelled from Israel 2,000 years ago by the Romans, and you may return. This is your homeland. Now, is that, that's the way America was run. We didn't let anybody come into America. This is not, Lady Liberty shining the lamp of freedom out over the Atlantic. Anybody who believes in democracy, freedom, and equal opportunity, you are welcome here. Give us your tired, your poor, your whatever, downtrodden. No, that's not what America was built on. That's BS. America was built on, we let our people into the country. We had a thing called the Quota Act, the Immigration Act. The great patriot President Calvin Coolidge signed that. Another great president. Who didn't get a chance to be great, Warren Harding, Warren Gamaliel Harding. He signed the Quota Act and the Immigration Act signed by Calvin Coolidge, both of them written by my cousin, Madison Grant. And that's, we let in people that we wanted in America under a quota system. We wanted Northern Europeans in America, so we specifically said that's who gets in. That was the law from 1920 until 1965. And just like those Israeli phenomena, hey, you asked that question, how's that working out for you? Hey, it was working great. Between 1920 and 1965, people don't understand, they don't know this. They don't know this, but it's true. Did America, they talk about the Browning of America. It's a phrase the left uses. I'm not being pejorative when I use that phrase. The left uses it all the time, the Browning of America. Was America Browning from 1920 to 1965? Did America get less white from 1920 until 1965? It's just a scholarly question. It's a statistical question. Did we? It's a long time. It's 45 years. Isn't the inevitable flow of history, the inevitable tide? Don't you have to go with history? Don't you have to go with unstoppable forces of nature and history? Isn't it just an overwhelmingly true fact that the world is going to get less white? Well, did America get less white during those 45 years? Answer, N-O. No, we did not. Did America get more white? Answer, yes, we did. There was no inevitable flow of history. There was no inevitable browning of America. We didn't get a lot whiter, but we got whiter, one percentage point. from 1920 to 1965. In other words, we were doing better than holding our own as a 90% white nation by simply having a law based on America first, our people first, an ethno-state approach. We had, in effect, a wall. Ellis Island was part of a wall around America. You had to go through that wall to get in. And if you didn't get approval, you were kicked out. You didn't get to go to the Supreme Court. You didn't get a free attorney. You didn't get nothing. You got, somebody said, hey, you, turn around, back on the boat. all right. So anyway, I just was enjoying that. So Donald Trump, where does this all come from? Donald Trump's congratulations to Bibi Netanyahu. Well, Donald Trump, being a friend of Israel, is an incredibly smart and also very sincere thing that he has done. It's made him a much more effective patriot president. If Donald Trump drank the Kool-Aid of hostility to Israel and bad-mouthing Bibi Netanyahu, bad-mouthing the Israeli people and the state of Israel, like Ilhan Omar, like Rashida Tlaib, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez Occasional Cortex, like Ayanna Pressley, if Donald Trump drank that same Kool-Aid that those ladies are serving, he would never have become president of the United States. Not even close. Evangelicals would never have voted for him. He would not have won a single primary. He wouldn't have a snowball's chance in hell of being president of the United States. You got to think about that. When you get all excited about Donald Trump, he's a big friend of Israel. Yeah, he sure is. And is that smarter than maybe what you're doing? If you are, and by the way, whatever you're doing, I don't mean to impugn anybody out there. But if you don't like Israel, that's okay. You know, you're entitled to that. But don't ever think of becoming president of the United States, or a congressman, or a senator, or having any power or influence whatsoever in a nation where how many evangelicals are there in America? 40 million? 80 million? A big number, folks. And it's a dominant number. And so when Donald Trump got the endorsement of Jerry Falwell Jr. And Franklin Graham and the other leading evangelicals in America, that's how he won the presidency. And that tweet right there that you may be having trouble with, I'm not having trouble with it. I think it's brilliant. Like, just about, I don't know, what else has he done that wasn't brilliant? Let's go to some more tweets. That was 33 minutes ago. And, Donald Trump can tweet faster than I can talk. But he doesn't have a new tweet. Let's see what else he's gotten in the Twitter department today. Now, of course, coming up, let's look forward, folks. We've got the Demon Rat debates coming up on the 30th and 31st. Today's the 21st, so 9 days from now, Demon Rat debate number one. I don't know when Donald Trump's next appearance is going to be, but that's going to start happening, that rat-a-tat-tat pace of Trump rallies. That's going to kick in soon enough, I would imagine. So that, when back in the early days of this show, on any given day, we might have a Trump rally happening. And they usually happened about the time of this show. Let's see here. Let's just listen for a second to Donald Trump at the rally. Now, one of the things he's done, very, very smart. Here he is.
Look at all those signs. Women, women for Trump. Well, thank you. It's a lot of signs. Do you remember last election?
Yeah, we sure do, Mr. President. We'll be back in just a moment.
You just stood there alone, Big John. Big John.
Hi, this is Matt Ray for MySleepAllNight.com, and most of us don't even realize that almost all of the healing, learning, and rejuvenating that happens in our body happens only when we are deeply asleep. Now, if you have trouble falling asleep and staying asleep, it's likely you never consistently achieve that crucial level of deep sleep. Deep restorative sleep is the key to health, mood, productivity, longevity, memory, you name it. So many health benefits. To experience what deep sleep feels like, try the new dietary supplement Sleep All Night, formulated by scientist Kurt Hendricks. And sleep like your life depends on it, because let's be honest, it does. Head on over to MySleepAllNight.com. That's MySleepAllNight.com. Enter the promo code radio for 20% off your purchase. Again, head on over to MySleepAllNight.com. Enter the promo code radio. That's MySleepAllNight.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Uncorrect as ever. That's Gretchen Wilson and Merle Haggard's choice in using the phrase politically incorrect. I like their phrase, politically uncorrect. It's more blue collar. It's more country. So it's like the word ain't. They ain't nothing wrong with the word ain't. A great, long, distinguished history in English speech and literature of the speech of the people. Actually, you know, it's the least academically correct people who insist on, you know, things must be grammatically this way or that, according to some book. The real grammarians and the real builders of dictionaries all make the point that usage determines grammar and correctness. There's nobody out there setting rules for how you're allowed to speak. It's the grammarians and the dictionary compilers are based, the correctness of uses, correctness is based on usage. If people use the word ain't to mean are not, then ain't becomes the correct usage. So anyway, I like it. The people come first. The rules follow. That's the way it ought to be. Here's a little moment. Let's see, we've got a caller here. I'll get to the caller. I lost Art, who's off the grid. I hope you call back, Art. We got Eddie in Cleveland. Eddie, let's go to you. What's up?
Hey, when I was in elementary school, we weren't allowed to use the word ain't, so I'd run around and use it all day long, make my teachers mad. Ain't the word. I ain't doing that. That ain't true.
You're not allowed to. But just think of all the things, Eddie, that you and I are not allowed to say because they're racist.
Oh, it's like everything. Anything that, if it sounds like even close to something, they think you're being a racist, you know?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You're not allowed to, there's so many things you're not allowed to, the sensitivity that white people have over any word is amazing. Like you could just be in a, people are so nervous about being called an anti-Semite that if
not
you're in
me.
A group, not me either. But
when they call me an anti-Semite, I call them anti-Christian, and then they don't know what to say.
Yeah. Well,
and then they get befuddled because they're like, oh my gosh, crazy.
Exactly. But in other words, you can be in a crowd of people and just like raise your voice a little bit and say the word Jewish or say the word Jew. And all of a sudden,
it scares them.
Everything will be quiet and everybody will stand still.
For fear of the Jews, no one spoke openly.
You're not supposed to say, certain words. They're politically incorrect. And anyway, I think Donald Trump has got it exactly right. He's not anti-Semitic at all, in any way, shape, or form. And the reason the left wants to constantly portray him, well, you know, they've kind of given up, I think, on portraying Donald Trump as anti-Semitic. It's too hopeless. You're not going to sell that because Ilhan Omar is out there bashing Israel, bashing Jews. Rashida Tlaib is doing it.
She's a Muslim. That's all right.
Muslim, but
like
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is from Puerto Rico, which is, you know, a putatively Christian nation. So
she's allowed to say Negro because that's a Spanish word meaning black. But if you say Negro, they think white guys are racist for saying that. Dude, that's a Spanish word that says black. What's wrong
with
you?
That's another one. Absolutely. If
Wake
you're
up.
A
they're,
people,
they're brainwashing you.
Yeah, no.
I said the media is brainwashing you.
Yeah, if you're at a party, a bunch of white people at a party, and you just say Negro, raise your voice a little bit so everybody in the room can kind of hear you and just go, Negro, say one word. Silence.
Make it quiet. I'm like, that's Spanish for black. What's wrong with you people? Have you been brainwashed?
People might run for the doors. They might run for their cars.
Not to change the subject a little bit.
Let me tell you a story. I can tell you've got a youthful voice. You're too young to remember this. But
no, I'm 57, so I don't know if that's too young.
Well, how old are you?
57.
Oh, yeah, you're just a kid.
I am. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, when I was a boy, it would be an insult to refer to – now, I may get this – it's changed over the years. So, you know, who keeps track of all this? You have to take notes and refer to your notes. But at one point, calling someone black, that was not correct. If you called somebody black –
Yes, Negro. A Negro or colored?
Yeah, the proper word to say was Negro.
Negro, but now you're not allowed to say it. It's offensive.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say that. And you're right, Negro does mean black in Spanish, Negro. And
you say potato, I say potato.
Yeah, so Then another word that's had the same fate is colored.
Yeah, remember that? My grandfather always said colored.
Yes. Yeah, like you say, you know, well, that there's a group of coloreds over there.
There's some coloreds over there. They're causing trouble, Oscar.
at various times, you're not supposed to say that. Then it was African-American.
Then Afro-American,
yeah.
They did that for a minute. Who knows?
But all these different terms. And, you know, come on, folks. It simply is. And then there have been different words for us. Caucasian, white, European American.
Cracker, white boy,
cracker,
honky.
Yeah. Honky. Yeah. So whatever, white bread, you know. So
gringo.
Gringo, yeah. So, but the thing is, it's all such BS, and the, you know, other peoples are very relaxed. You know, they're not, this is just white people get so, and by the way, I think it's genetic for us. I think we have a genetic disposition. It's part of our European ancestry. I think we are, by evolution, by biology, we are the nicest people on earth. It's in our blood. It's in our DNA. We're very polite.
That's what our downfall is.
Yeah.
That's what our downfall is.
We don't want to offend anybody.
I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Exactly.
And I don't want to hurt your feelings. I just want to punch you in the nose and break your nose.
And other races have realized this about us. You know, the sharp operator who realizes he's dealing with a customer who can't count money. Starts giving the guy short change because the guy can't count. Well, we can't count.
The rest of the world realizes,
they're taking advantage of us. They realize
you go to these Arab stores, and a lot of times they try to do that. And I went, look at man, this was $3.19, this was $2. I gave you a 10, you gave me 75 cents in change. I don't understand. What's up here? Oh, I made a mistake. No, get out of here.
So we've been taken advantage of for all, you know, my entire life and your entire life. And hopefully we're waking up. Hopefully we're.
I hope so.
Also, folks, and this is not a hateful thing. This is something I preach on this show, is that I am not. I've been everywhere. I've been all over the map in the various parts of the movement. And the winner. The reason I created this show, The Trump Phenomenon, I think Donald Trump's got it right. He's got the formula, the exact equation for how to win.
How does it look for him getting reelected, in your honest opinion?
I think these lovely ladies, the squad, are really helping us patriots. They're helping Donald Trump get reelected. So I'm all for the squad. And I'm all for all the crazy demon rats. I like Chuck Schumer. I like Nancy Pelosi. I'm glad those are the leaders.
I love those people.
Funny. You know, one of the callers, I'm pinching myself to even remember that it was true. We were talking about Jim Traficant.
That was a good guy right there. He was from Ohio, Youngstown.
Yeah, he was a good guy. But let me look him up.
You know, he got run over by his tractor, but I think they killed him, you know? How is a guy that's been a farmer for his whole life all of a sudden fall off a tractor and can't get killed? That's just ridiculous. Because he was going to run for Congress again.
Is that how he died?
Yeah, he got, and he was on his tractor, and somehow he fell off his tractor and it ran him over. And he found him dead in the field.
They killed him,
absolutely.
Yeah,
that was no accident.
Not many farmers get run over by their own tractor.
Yeah, and the guy's 75 years old. I don't think so. He probably takes every precaution there is, but. Oh, he just fell over, you know. But he was talking about running for congressman again, and they didn't want that. So he had to have an accident, you know.
Okay. Now, this is the amazing thing. One of the callers said, hey, remember, Jim Traficant was a Democrat.
He was a good Democrat.
Yeah, but he caught me by surprise because I'm going, my brain was not able to comprehend that for a moment because – then I realized, you know what? I think the caller's right. Traficant was a Democrat. And so
he often went against the Democrats in the voting, you know?
Yeah, but the point is this, folks, that the Democrat Party of 30 years ago was a very different thing from what it is today. And so I'm looking at the Jim Trafficant's article. He was a Democrat from 1981 on his political party to 2002.
He went to jail.
Then he listed himself as independent from 2002 to 2014. His death, let me see, where is his death? Let me just find it.
Three years ago.
Yeah. Trafficant was injured in an accident at his farm in September of 2014. A tractor he was driving into a pole barn flipped over and trapped him underneath. Trafficant was taken to the hospital in Salem, Ohio, then airlifted to Youngstown on September 24th. That would be the next day. His wife described him as sedated and doing well. Now, who does this remind us of? The death of George Patton. He was in a car accident, and they said he was doing well in the hospital after his car was hit by a truck. But then, mysteriously, he's recovering in the hospital.
And dies.
He up and dies.
Geez, what a surprise.
What a surprise. And doctors have been, you know, injecting him with stuff and putting stuff in his arm. And all of a sudden, Patton dies. So his wife said the next day he was sedated and doing well. Oh, wait, sorry. Okay, Kelso's wrong. It's because I'm so nearsighted. Sedated and not doing well. Okay.
Yeah.
By September 26th, it was learned the family was awaiting the doctor's assessment. There was no word as to whether he had suffered a heart attack, but he was still unconscious, was being sedated for pain. Some people said they thought he had a heart attack causing the tractor accident, but he was the Constitution Party for candidate for office, and machines were disconnected. So he was on life support as those machines were disconnected. He was still breathing. Thousands are praying. On September 27th, he died in Poland, Ohio, age 73. And his body was buried in an undisclosed location, private funeral.
They killed him.
Well, it says, you know, and of course, these things can be faked, very easy to do. It's probably done in Kennedy's case. The medical report said he had had a heart that had not, he did not have a heart attack or seizure before the accident, so that we can rule that out. Was not under the influence of drugs or alcohol.
Was under the influence of some bad guys.
Now listen to this. He had not sustained any crushing injuries in the accident. So why did he die?
They killed him.
Oh, look at this. The pathologist attributed Trafficant's death to, get this, folks, you've never heard this term before, positional asphyxiation.
So he suffocated.
Stating that he had not been that he had been unable to breathe because of the weight of the tractor on top of him. So
they killed him.
Yeah, but in other words, he wasn't crushed. He had no crushing industry. But you know, it's true. You can die that way if your chest is compressed by enough weight. You can't breathe.
Then your brain gets lack of oxygen and yada yada yada. Hey, one thing before I hang up.
Yeah.
My grandfather was in the cavalry from 1929 to 1932 on the Mexican border. And if you came across the border, they went after you with guns, and it pretty much kept those south of the border from coming across. But today, they come rushing across, and we might use some tear gas on them at the most, and then we have no, and then we don't do. And if they do get across, we just let them file for asylum, give them welfare and everything else, and let them work under the table, cash prices.
Oh yeah, but you're wondering why this country?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Eddie, you know, you're a young guy, but you know, you're out of touch because you and I are too old now to remember to get it right. It's gotten so bad. It's not that they might use tear gas on them. No way. If they use tear gas on somebody on the border at this time, They would take that guy and electrocute him.
Arrest
get
him.
The electric chair for using tear gas on the border. No, you're
That's
right.
Such a shame.
They did use it. Yeah. No, it's worse than that. Now, what every Border Patrol and ICE person is required to do by law, by demon rat law, by Democrat law, they are required to whoever
help you.
Comes across, however they come across, a young, old, whatever they are required to welcome them, to immediately feed them, immediately provide health care for them.
We're feeding the enemy.
Oh, but I mean,
we're feeding the enemy.
And the word is getting out. The word has gotten out. So if you're down in Guatemala or Honduras or anywhere in the world, and you understand it now, these dumb bunny white people in America, they now play
they're
by
dumber
these
than
rules.
A, we're dumber than a box of rocks. I don't understand why we keep letting this happen. Why isn't anybody up in arms about this? I mean, for real. It's like we're too medicated to do anything, it seems like.
Well, okay, now what's happening? And now that people go, hey, why aren't we? Here's where what's the movement that Donald Trump is creating right now that you're part of and I'm part of. This is the if this is to be stopped, if this border invasion is to be stopped, and it has not been stopped, that's for sure. But if it is stopped, it will be because enough people like you, Eddie, and the rest of you in the audience will have been welded
down there at
together.
The board.
You will have been welded together into a cohesive movement that simply says,
enough is enough.
And folks,
you know, the few guys that are going down there to try to help stop it, they're arresting those guys. You know, they're arresting those guys to. Well, trying to stop the illegals from coming across, you know?
Exactly. But see, they're making the Border Patrol's job. Yeah, but they are making a mistake. The people who go down, and this is where Donald Trump realizes that you've got to win. It's not enough to be right. Some people may be missing the distinction that I'm making, because I've been a part of a movement that for most of my life, okay, was all concerned about being right. And we were so convinced that we were losing that we almost gave up on. Well, actually,
we're almost outnumbered. It's almost too late. You know, we're almost outnumbered.
Here's where Trump is different. Trump is a person who's used to winning, and he correctly perceives, like General MacArthur, there's no substitute for victory. Being right, if you're in a battle. And you go, but General, sir, I was right. Your whole squad got shot up. All your guys are dead. What do you mean your strategy was right? Your guys are dead. That's you got to win, my friend. I don't care what the book says or what the right, tactical, if you come back from the battle and you're alive and your troops are alive and the enemy is dead, that's winning.
You won.
Yeah, so Trump has got that. He understands that. We have to win. So people that go down to the border, throughout the history of the movement, there have been individual people who went down there, like with a gun or, with whatever, and handcuffs or something. That was a mistake. That was not – because you weren't going to win. You were going to be right. Yeah, that person should be stopped at the border. But you got to do it in such a way that you win. So Donald Trump has got to he's got to get us to lead us to the point – where all those dedicated ICE and Border Patrol people, most of whom, by the way, are Hispanic. Most of the Border Patrol people are actually have names like Mendoza and, Rodriguez. They are in fact Hispanic people. And they do want to defend America. They are dedicated. They do love Donald Trump. But we have to have, the law has to be right. There have to be a majority of Americans, or let's say enough Americans, unified in a movement, and all you folks out there biting your lips about Israel, let me say this: like Israel, in Israel, the Israelis are unified enough that they're saying, you know what? We're going to keep Israel Jewish, and we're going to do whatever we have to do to keep it that way. And guess what? They're winning. Okay. We Americans have to say we're going to be dedicated to keeping America American, however we can do that in such a way as to win. And so that's I don't know where it's going to turn out, Eddie. I don't know where it's going to go. We just have to You know, that's the fate of soldiers, isn't it? When you go into, when Pickett's men in Pickett's charge, you know, what was their future? 30 minutes later, were they going to be dead or alive? Those men that charged the Union middle at Gettysburg. You know, you don't know in a battle how it's going to turn out. It might turn out horribly, but you got to go. You got to stand up and move out. So that's where we are. We've got to do the best we can to preserve the European world, to, as Donald Trump says, to preserve our civilization. As he said in that speech, I keep going back to it. And by the way, I won't have time to do it, but Stephen Miller, Donald Trump's top Jewish aide, spoke out today. Let me find that headline. Stephen Miller, who went to Santa Monica High School, my home turf, same hometown boy, Stephen Miller, he spoke out today, and I'm going to try to find that article. But the what we have to do is we have to – here, let me find that article. I've lost my own train of thought there. Jeez, I'll tell you what. You are a young guy, Eddie. I'm 71. Let me find this article. Stephen Miller, White House senior advisor and speechwriter Stephen Miller. Oh, here's the connection. I was referring to the Kaczynski Square speech. I think Stephen Miller was the key writer on that speech. And all of Trump's writings and speeches and sayings are his own. But Stephen Miller is clearly, there's a mark of Stephen Miller in these great speeches. In the Kaczynski Square speech, Donald Trump said to the assembled Polish patriots, he said, the question is whether we in the West have the will to preserve our civilization. Wow. That's a hell of a thing. Now, listen to Stephen Miller today. He says, White House senior advisor, maybe the guy who helped write that speech, and speechwriter Stephen Miller told Fox News on Sunday today that left-wing Democrats were not merely criticizing the U.S. to improve it, but rather hoping to turn it into a socialist country like Venezuela. And he said, let's see. Let me see what he says here. Miller stated, the president ran a campaign that can be summarized in two words, America first. And then he said, let me go down further. He comments about the anti-Semitism of those people in the squad. So Stephen Miller spoke out today and appeared on TV, which he has been, he's not done that very much. So, but anyway, Eddie, thank you very much for calling in, my friend. We may have lost Eddie. Okay. The engineer, and by the way, folks, these engineers at RBN, you know, the only thing that keeps RBN going is your contributions to the network. So you've got to keep it going. You've got to realize this is a real radio network. This is not a shoutcast or a podcast from grandma's basement. This is real radio that John Stadtmiller has put together. And he set a high standard. He's going for the real deal. He's always said, you know, this is going to be a radio network, not just a radio station, a radio network with people at control boards in a real building. This is real radio. And that costs money. You know, you can do a shoutcast for, you know, $5 from your basement. And you can, you know, you're hearing somebody's voice. It's coming over your computer. You go, this is good. I can hear this guy. But folks, if you want to reach a lot of people, you have to create a radio network. Or you could create a big radio station. But John Stadtmiller has created a radio network. And there's money that has to be spent. So I've got an engineer. I've always, for every second that I've been on RBN, I've had an engineer right at my elbow, right there. And every time I screwed up, that engineer fixed it. Every time I was a no-show or late, I don't think I've ever been a no-show, but I've been late to my own show a couple of times. Who fixes it? It's the engineer. Who scrambles? The other things that are not Kelso's fault happen, and all kinds of things can happen. The signal goes out. Something goes haywire. The engineer in Round Rock, Texas, fixes it for you. So this is what you're supporting. It's an incredible achievement by John Stadtmiller. And I just ask you to count, name to me other Patriot radio networks. Give me a list of Patriot radio networks. And you can write that list on the palm of your hand, by the way. So don't get worried about needing a sheet of paper. You don't. This is a very thin, all the heads of Patriot radio networks could hold a meeting in a phone booth. That is not, we want to change that. But at least support the guys in the phone booth right now. We'll be right back.
The best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, domedan at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. aroutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Big John, Big John.
Every morning at the mine you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John, Big John.
Big Bad John,
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much, he kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land. Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
That's Big Bad Donald John to you out there. And here we are. We're back in the last segment of our show. I like to end with a little bit of humor when I can. And I mentioned that the owners, operators, creators of the Patriot radio networks in America could all hold a convention in a phone booth. And then it just occurred to me, some of you younger folks out there, you've never seen a phone booth. I'm sure there's some of you who have never seen a phone booth. Now, so that prompted me to look up the history of phone booths a little bit during the break, and I'll close with this. It's pretty darn interesting. In 1999, there were 2 million phone booths in the United States. And of course, all of us of my age, we all used phone booths hundreds and hundreds of times. The routine was it had a folding door, was glass. You pushed the door in and it opened. You went inside, closed the door. It cost 10 cents. That went up to a quarter later, but it cost 10 cents. You put your dime in and you got a dial tone and you dialed who you're going to dial. And if it was a long distance call, a long distance operator came on and said, that will be 40 cents for the first 3 minutes or whatever they would say. And there was a little coin return slot, and it was a rotator dial thing that you dialed on. 2 million in 1999. By 2018, America, our country, was down to 100,000 phone booths. 5%. 95% had been eliminated. Can you imagine that, folks? There must be some incredible dump full of phone booths today somewhere, or phone booth parts. And 20,000 of the 100,000 remaining in the U.S. last year were in New York City. So what a thing. What a thing. From 2 million down to 100,000. And to give you some other perspective, there were 44,000 phone booths in Sweden in 1981. That was after a century of phone booths in that country. 44,000 today, as of 2015, zero. Other countries, Finland, zero. Denmark, zero. Belgium, zero. So phone booths are disappearing. In Australia, they call them phone boxes, what they call them in Britain too, and in Canada. There were 80,000 phone boxes in Australia in the 1990s. And they still have quite a few. It was 24,000 in 2016. So that's probably, it's a precipitous decline. So who knows, but there's still some in Australia. So if you want to use a phone box, take a trip to Australia. But there you go. Let's see here. Let's just go check on our big bad Donald John here and just hit a last refresh before we say goodbye to you. And we'll meet up again, of course, in the Trump Clubhouse again tomorrow. No new tweets from the president. But boy, this is going to be one heck of a week. The Bob Mueller, Barrier Bob Mueller is going to testify this week, we are told. And that'll give people a patriot like another Ohio congressman, Jim Traficant's fellow Ohioan, Jim Jordan, will get a chance to tear apart Bob Mueller. I mean, I'll tell you, I would do pay-per-view on that one to watch Jim Jordan questioning Barrier Bob Mueller. I'd pay a few bucks to be able to see that live. So that's coming up. We'll cover that. Is that going to be on the 24th? I think it is. So stay tuned for that. Would that be Wednesday? And boy, I tell you what, it's all heating up, isn't it? And then, of course, we got the demon rat debates, and we've got the squad versus the president. That's not going away anytime soon. So thank you all, everybody, for participating in our show today, and we'll see you again tomorrow. As always,